comedian.
I'm like, wait, hold on a second. What's my Yelp review?
I'm going to Italy next month.
I saw that.
Doing shows, and I can't wait to eat.
I saw that.
God, that's so
good. Are we good or no? Yeah, I'm just going to do an audio. All right. Sorry.
Ow.
Legit. Warn me first before you smack me.
Starting on you or starting on the left?
Just whatever. Probably me. There's no intro or anything. Okay. Matteo Lanzi. That's the intro.
Are we here to talk about Fire Island?
We're here to talk about this whole show is a review of Fire Island.
The movie?
No, there was this like VH1 show years ago called Fire Island. And for some reason, they thought it'd be really great to have me and Vinny talk about Fire Island. One, I'd never been. Vinny, the least homosexual on the face of planet. We're like, we're in.
Yeah. So, there was a reality show that lasted 5 minutes mm-hmm. called Fire uh-huh. Island. It was like the gay Jersey Shore.
And you guys are going to be on it?
Oh, that's
it,
right. That was
it?
Kind of it. That's why, because it was like the gay. Now I remember.
Jersey Shore.
God.
You're gay. Yes. I'm Jersey Shore.
That makes sense.
We were the match that people didn't
so
know
you
they needed.
On the show?
No, we just watched it.
After show.
And to be fair, it was entertaining. I mean, we were entertained. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think it didn't last?
Well, what, it was the show or us?
I guess both.
Matteo, yo, I walked in there. He started making some crazy jokes. And I was like, yo, I fuck with this guy. Because I didn't know like how, like, if you were going to be like politically correct or anything. Because like, you know, I'm over there commenting on like a gay show.
Yeah.
He was the one you had to fucking worry about.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I really calmed down in my late years.
Have you? Yeah. Oh, man.
I feel like boring. That. Well, no, I'm still like obviously comment, but like that was 10 years ago. So like when you have no following and no one wants you,
yeah.
You're just like, listen to me.
Yes,
and then
yes.
Now I'm like, oh, I'm doing much better. Okay.
I can kind of take
chill
back
out.
Everything I said
yeah.
all those years.
I'm sure it was still funny.
Yeah,
but it was before
yeah.
like people were canceled and all that stuff. So like really it was everything was
10 years
kind of taken with a grain of salt. It might have been like 9 years. It was a long time
also,
ago.
Also, like, so I've been doing some stand-up comedy.
Where you been working out?
I've been working out a lot at like Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Oh, nice.
You know, I do the stand once in a while, but not like their main shows.
Yeah.
And just hanging out with comedians so much, like you get used to it. Like, I don't want to hang out with anybody else.
It's hard because where the conversation is, like the line.
Anything.
Yeah, you can say anything.
And you forget, like I'll hang out with just like non-comics. I'll go out to dinner and I'll say something. And people look at me shocked. I'm like, oh, yeah, like I'm
right,
like, not
right.
sitting with Keith Robinson right now.
Yeah.
Like I can't just say the most horrible thing to somebody. Like it's,
yeah.
you know, comics, we allow ourselves to like say the worst things,
worst
but it's all
things.
With like a smile.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I say it on a date, and then she leaves.
Oh, have you been saying
she's like,
yourself?
That's racist. Don't say that. What?
You're like, I was talking about Italian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we did Fire Island, and that was so you didn't go to Fire Island? That wasn't your
I
thing?
Went once. My buddy Taylor and Patty were working at, I think it was called the Island Breeze, and this is before I could sell tickets. So my friend Taylor was like, well, we're going to set up a show here at the bar. We're going to bring you out to Fire Island. Uh-huh. It's going to be fun. And I was like, okay, I'll go. So me and my friend Alfredo went on the journey, and there was three people in the audience. It was raining, and they hated me, and I hated them. So I was literally smoking on stage. I don't even smoke. And then the way where we slept is because Taylor was working there. They have these like little rooms for them.
Yeah.
So they had a twin bed that him, me, and my friend Alfredo had to share. Taylor 6'4", Alfredo 6'4". And the three of us were just like sardines. And then I got back on the boat and went back. So I never had like where everyone's like, oh, Fire Island and like the
Fire
parties
Island
and the cooking
summer.
And the I'm like, I just slept in a twin bed and bombed.
But that's what it is though. The Jersey Shore, like you literally were just sleeping on like a towel somewhere. There's like nothing luxury about it.
Do you know what my Nana always said? She
what?
Watched the Jersey Shore
uh-huh.
and her biggest critique of the show was who's washing the sheets in the smush room.
In the smush room.
So
yeah.
if you want to tell something to my Nana right now, you can let her know because she's been wondering for years.
Oh, Nana. that means grandmother in Italian.
Yeah, I get you.
She's Asian.
black.
She's not. She's black and white. Which
works.
Sorry, I'm telling your joke. I'm doing your bit. Yeah, no one washed them. That's disgusting.
Ew.
No one even washed her.
Fuck.
Like someone
like
would fuck and then someone would fuck the next night.
Oh my God.
I was rolling around in Ronnie's cum.
Ew.
I always thought when I was watching the show, what it was 2009 it came out?
Yeah.
I was probably 22. And I remember being, it was the most, that really was such a fascinating show because it's like, when you explain like, not even just East Coast Italians, but then like more specifically like Jersey Italians, like a Guido, you know what I mean? Like, it's so like, I grew up in the Midwest. I was like, what is this? And I'm really Italian.
It was just a subculture of like the Northeast type of thing. But real Italians look more like you.
Yeah.
I even said that about myself too.
But you're more Italian. I mean, you're an Italian.
Right. Like my mother was born in Sicily and like I looked like the least stereotypical of the Guidos. You know what I mean? So it's very much just like a Guido culture versus Italian culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But where are you from?
Our family?
No, like you're like in America.
Chicago.
Chicago. Oh, there's a man Italians in Chicago.
Yeah, but everyone, but you know, it's like Italians in Chicago don't have the same, like I went to Staten Island the other day for the first time with Eric D'Alessandro. Do you know him? He's a comic.
Yeah,
he's so funny.
We're from Staten Island, but I don't know him personally.
Oh,
he's funny.
The nicest and funniest.
Yeah.
He took me to this place called La Bella. It's like a market.
Yeah, La Bella Marketplace.
And so we went, we're going around. We had such a good time, but like an impression of like an East Coast Italian to me, you know, like we walk up to get some prosciutto and the guy's like, all right, what do you want?
Yeah.
And we're like, just a prosciutto. Well, what kind? We got the Parma, we got the other kind. So how much you want? I'm like, I'm scared. Like,
right.
Super like, but they're not being
aggressive.
Mean.
No. I call it Guido, Alabama. That's what Staten Island is. You know?
Although I met the owner and her and I spoke in Italian. Like,
yes.
We were chit-chatting in Italian because we were filming. I'm fluent.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I'm like, we're filming this thing. She's from Bari. And I was like, they saw us filming, I thought they're going to be like, what the fuck you doing? Get the fuck out of here. But then they were like, you got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
What's the name? I want to see it.
Yeah. Hey, yo.
It was so cool.
Look at this truffle cheese. Actually, when I went to Sicily with the Jersey Shore, when we did a season of that, I thought that my family is from Sicily, the mountains. They're like,
what part?
They're from a place called Sant'Agata. It's like near Messina.
Oh my God. That's where my grandpa's from Montevago, which is the province of Agrigento, but I only stay in Messina because our family friends are there. So that's where I went every single summer.
Yeah. It's like beachy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we have a little town right outside there.
Oh wow.
And they surprised me when we went to Italy for the show. We stayed in Florence for like 2 months, which is way too long to stay in Florence.
Yeah, but Florence is...
We didn't know any better. Yeah. So we went to Sicily and I thought that like these people are going to be freaked out by the fucking cameras. They were like, they didn't care at all.
They
were like moving the fucking cameras out of the way. They're like, all they cared about was seeing me and feeding me. They're like, oh my God, Vinny, because I never met them before. You know what I mean?
It's kind of
the same thing in the small towns. Like even Staten Island and shit like that, when they see cameras, they just like keep moving and stuff. It's really just like when you do it here and everybody wants to be something and wants to be famous. Uh-huh. You know
my
what I
grandpa's
mean?
My grandpa's town in Sicily is called Montevago. And last time I went, my uncle Calogero, before he passed, they give you like the tour. So basically the town is so small. The only history of it is that there was an earthquake like 70 years ago. But in true Sicilian fashion, they don't rebuild over the earthquake. They leave the ruins, build next to it. So when you go back, you look at where everyone died.
It's like a museum.
Yeah. This is where everybody die. I'm like, well, this is fun. And then they feed you candy and food.
That's
and
so
pasta.
Funny.
And
when I see Italian, I don't know, like it's just like the bias in me. I thought like Italians only lived in New York. Mm. So like if I go, when I went to Chicago for the first time and I met these Italian people, I'm like, you guys aren't Italian with your little silly accents. Same thing in Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto, they're like fucking real Italians there.
Yeah. My friend John,
like,
who's
but they're not like New York Guidos. So it doesn't, there's like a disconnect for me, but that's just stupid. Of course they're Italian.
No, but I mean, even the New York Guido, like that has like roots in Italy. I mean, you know what I mean? But it's like, now what's strange is that I have such a large following in Italy.
Yeah.
But what's weird is like the one comment I get all the time from the Italians in Italy is, thank you for talking about Italy today. Because I think Americans have a fascination with mob culture, Godfather, like East, like there's something, they've really romanticized the sort of like East Coast Italian, like, you know, from the 50s, 70s.
Mob wife.
Yeah. And where I think like, you know, in Italy that they're just like, they're kind of confused. Everyone's really confused about what is an Italian, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, my friend John in Montreal, he's Italian, speaks French, but also speaks Italian.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So what do you think Italy is today?
Italy of today is...
Or that you talk about.
Well, because I cook a lot.
Oh, okay.
I just cook a lot and talk about my love of cooking in Italy. And I did a bunch of like mini documentaries of documentaries, like docuseries in Italy. Uh-huh. So cooking with like the chef Luciano, or hanging out with friends, or like just living in Rome, or with hanging out my or doing comedy in Italy. Uh-huh. And I think that for them, it's more like, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're not sitting around looking at the evil eye sending sword heads, like yeah. fish heads to people.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
or, yeah. you know, talking about like, Lucy, come over here. But like, even like,
Religion, like I don't. They're not that. They're not that religious
they
anymore.
Doing that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm probably not all, but less.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love like the Growing Up Italian podcast. Like when I went
those
to them, like, those are real Italians.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Irma, is that her name? She's with the cigarette. She's one of her aunts.
Well, like I know Sabino and
Sabino,
Rocco.
Of course. Yeah, and Rocco.
But like, who's that? Like one of the characters they have?
She smokes cigarettes and I think she's one of their aunts or something. And she's amazing. You walk up, she's like, you didn't fucking tell me this was going to be the fucking guest today. Vieni qua, vieni qua, come stai? I love them.
Bro, I went to fucking, because they're my friends. So I went to play basketball with them in some random gym in Brooklyn. And we're running the game with real Italian kids that are speaking Italian. Like they're Americans, but they're like speaking Italians. Like you would see, you know, like in America, like
Latinos.
You still see like Latinos yeah. speaking Spanish. You know what I mean? Asian speaking their language. and then like, I'm like, I didn't know Italian still existed. There's like a culture in like Williamsburg.
Even when I went to go do their podcast,
they're like keeping it alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was funny because like there's like, if you were not Italian, you walked up into those like the Italian podcast, just seeing them on the street and like
yeah.
you would be so intimidated by them.
But I know.
Just me speaking Italian, like it's like an instant door in.
Yeah.
Like no, they're like, yeah, come on, welcome to the club.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
A slow one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, you can't speak Italian, right, Vinny?
You can kind of
speak no,
it.
So I was just going to say, speaking Italian is another level. Like, so did you grow up with it or?
And I started learning it really when I was 15 and going to Sicily.
Right. So that was kind of like similar. So your parents didn't like teach you it in the house and stuff like that?
My dad's not Italian. My mom is.
Really? What's mm-hmm. your dad?
My dad's Irish.
Oh, shit. Irish and Italian.
So if you can imagine their culture, my dad doesn't have any like, he's not like Irish, like, oh, tatar.
Yeah.
My mom's actually Italian and Mexican. But there's a whole history with my Mexican family, so I only grew up culturally Italian.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're like a mix.
Yeah.
You look very Italian.
I
you
only
look
got super Italian genes.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You look
yeah.
like Mario. It's crazy.
<I know.
laughs> We're like Luigi.
All right. I'm Mario. He's Luigi. That's why they casted us on the after show of Fire Island.
Which you can catch on VH1.
Yeah, I did this. So my family, they're from Sicily, and when they came here, they tried to like acquiesce to American culture. So they didn't want to name me Vincenzo. My name had to be Vincent. They didn't want to speak Italian, you know, because my mother grew up like being made fun of and shit for being Italian.
Right.
So they wanted us to just be. And now the whole culture has shifted.
It's shifted.
All of my fucking nieces and nephews have the most Italian names, like Matteo and fucking
Francesca, Luca,
Fettuccine Alfredo. Like is one of them. I go, look, cousins.
Really?
No.
Oh. Wow.
My aunt is the Olive Garden. Olive Garden.
Never had Olive Garden.
Oh, the best.
I had it once. I went with my friend Nick. It's his favorite restaurant. We did a video and it went very viral.
Most bang for your buck.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was very ridiculous.
There was another one that was not that bad. It was called Carrabba's.
Oh, I got to Italian Grill.
Yeah.
Carrabba's Italian
Grill. The calamari was pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like, sometimes you just want pasta.
Yeah,
even
you
if
can't
it's not
really
like the best pasta in the world.
Fuck it up, really.
I wish I was Italian right now.
Yeah.
We're isolating right now. We're talking about, well, it's like I'm part Mexican and it's like, I don't know anything about my Mexican family. So,
yeah.
I mean, I have a whole photo album of all my family in Mexico and I don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad's side.
Mom's side. My grandpa's from Mexico. They're from Jalisco. I know that much. But he married my grandma, who's Italian. They had 5 kids together. And he also had 5 kids with another woman and named all the kids the same name so he didn't confuse the families.
Like
so,
like George Foreman? Didn't he do that?
Kind of.
Oh, what's
crazy.
The name?
It's like 2 Lisas, 2 Michaels, 2, you know. Yeah. So then my grandma divorced him and then remarried a Sicilian. So by the time I was born, I just had 2 Italian grandparents. So I'm culturally Italian. I'm with my, you know, it's like I go to Italy, I see my family, but I'm actually part Mexican. So I have a weird.
You speak Spanish?
I do speak Spanish, but I have an Italian accent.
Wow. How'd you learn that just growing up?
I don't really, how did I learn Spanish? I mean, now my husband's Mexican, so we speak Spanish with each other.
Uh-huh.
But I still sound like Mario and Luigi when I speak. Like, I have such a thick Italian accent.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, when you speak Italian accent, when you speak Italian, you have like an American accent to them?
I have a mix of a Southern Italian accent and American accent.
Okay.
Because there's certain words I say that are Southern, right? I keep saying, instead of aspetta, I say spetta, which is very Napolitano. My grandma's dialect. Napolitan.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, after like 2 minutes of talking to someone, they're like, wait, where are you from? They think I'm like from Switzerland or something.
Yeah.
So they're not picking up on like a total American accent, but you know, definitely don't sound...
Yeah, my family, their Sicilian dialect is like another language.
Yeah, I can't speak Sicilian.
It was like a completely other language.
Really?
So when I like started to like, you know, hear people speaking Italian, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are saying. And when I went to college, the College of Staten Island, I minored in Italian just so that I can like try to learn the language. If there was any language I would have wanted to learn, it was Italian. Like Italian. Just because like, you know, I want to go there one day. My family's from there. So yeah, I kind of did what you did. I kind of started, but I never went there to actually practice it.
Mm-hmm. They say in Sicily, idu and ida
for him and her. Yeah.
So so in Italy, there's basically, so linguistics agree that most are not dialects. They're actually separate languages because they're not derivative of Italian and they cannot communicate to one another. So the whole country learns the national language, which is Italian. And then, for example, in Naples, they speak a different language than what they speak in Bari. Totally different. Not, you cannot understand each other.
Wow.
Different words, different grammar, different everything. But then they have to speak Italian to each other. So like, for example, my uncle Calogero, I would speak Italian to him. He'd speak Sicilian back. My cousins translate back into Italian for me.
Wow.
It's
like
the common.
So you can speak two
denominator.
Italian languages, basically.
Yeah. I speak
and there's the main one.
Sicilian, but I mean, they are totally different languages. And even when I was in Naples last year, my friend Ted Zetta and I were in the back of a cab and neither one of us could understand the cab driver. He was an old Napolitan guy.
Yeah.
And all I understood is he was saying something because I said my grandma's from Naples. So he said something, but it just sounded like, we should go. And then, like, my friend said, it's like, che vuoi dire? Which kind of means, like, what do you mean? Like, what are you trying to say? And it goes, and I'm like, I literally kept saying, like, I don't mean to be rude in Italian. I'm like, I don't speak Napolitano. In Sicilian, I'm like, I don't speak Sicilian. So there's different, totally different words. 34 different languages.
I wonder how that happened.
34,
that's
wow.
Because Italy was a bunch of, they were all different countries, like the Kingdom of Naples, the Kingdom of Sicily. Uh-huh. Or Sicily was either like run by the Arabs or by Spain or by the French or the Greeks. So it's like
getting like reconquered.
And, yeah.
That's why like different. Everyone's like a mix in Italy.
Yeah, you guys all look a little different.
Yeah.
You know?
I look like everyone. I look Napolitano. When I'm in Naples, everyone has my like down eyes. Like they go draw off my face like this.
He kind of has that too.
Heavy eyelid. Yeah. You can always tell a Southern Italian.
Yeah.
Like I'm out of a crowd.
Do you do comedy in Italian there or do you do it in English?
I have to translate. So this time I'm doing a theater called Giovanelli, which is like a 2,000 seat theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably be mostly Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But
really?
They want to see a New York show. They want to see a New York American.
I was gonna say, how do you translate the jokes?
Like, sometimes you just translate on the fly.
You and it literally still hits the same and shit. I can't even say these motherfuckers in English.
Because like I'll say something and I can understand that they won't understand what I'm saying, and then I'll quickly translate back into Italian.
Uh-huh.
But the Italians are always so warm. Like when I was performing in the Netherlands, I was in Amsterdam, and they're just funny.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, yes, we enjoyed that. Thank you.
Right.
The Italians,
but they probably actually did enjoy it, right? Even though they weren't giving you or you're saying that they were just like bad crowd.
No, they weren't bad. They were good, but it's funny to go from each country has their own vibe, how audiences receive comedy, how they receive you, like how they interact, where the Italians are like over the top and screaming and yelling and cheering and the green room, everyone's so nice and you're full of food and da da. And then you're in Amsterdam, my friend Francesco Riccardo, who's an Italian comic who opens for me. When in Europe, we're sitting in the green room, like, is anyone going to talk to him? Like, is anyone here?
Right.
You know, and they were so kind of like cold and rude. And then Italy, they're literally bringing us antipasti, pasta. And so funny.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing it now. And like, it's weird. The people in the audience that I thought I didn't want to perform to are my favorite now.
Yeah.
And the people I thought that I were going to be the best crowd, I don't like performing in front of. You know what I mean?
It's so
weird. I had a room full of bad bitches recently.
I hated it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I said something like, what? They're like, I can't laugh at that.
Uh-huh.
Imagine
it's not giving.
I saw you in what did I say? Chippendales.
Oh my God, you came.
That's where I saw
Remember?
You. Me yes. and my friend Jackie Fabulous.
I didn't even say hello because you
No, were- we got high as fuck because yeah. we were performing at Vegas and then we went to see your show.
Were you at the Cellar?
Yeah, I was at the Cellar.
Because there's only two things at the Rio were Chippendales and the Cellar.
And the Cellar.
And Penn and Teller.
So me and my friend Jackie Fabulous, who's an incredible comic, we went to go see the show. So it was us two comics, all women.
Yep.
Like screaming for Vinny. Yes. Like screaming. And then I feel awkward because I'm like, oh, this is my friend. I'm like looking at his dick in the shower.
Yeah.
Which you can see your dick.
A plus.
Thank you. No, you can't see my dick.
Is it that big?
Mateo. He turns around and you can see.
I'm holding it.
Girl, if you're holding it, you should use three hands.
Oh my God, is that big?
So, yes.
I mean, I'm going to let this rock for the clip, but I'm holding it.
It was big. But we were so high that part of me was like,
what'd you think of the show?
I mean,
I forgot.
I'm a comedian.
I'm like, wait, hold on a second. What's my Yelp review?
Let me put my drink down.
You know what it is? Like those kind of shows. Cause I went with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda. We went to Vegas and we went to all like the male review shows, right?
Magic
First, we go to
Mike,
Magic Mike,
Thunder
which
Down Under.
I slept with one of the dancers. He came and jumped on my lap and gave me his phone number.
Okay.
And Hi. So, and then Sashir was brought up on stage and spun around and dancing or whatever. then we went to Thunder Down Under.
That's the Australian one.
Which their budget must be $6. It is genuinely one of the worst shows I've ever seen.
It's like a strip show.
I loved it. So Chippendales is more classic. Like you guys at least have dance numbers and stuff like that. But as a gay guy who's a comedian watching that show surrounded by women, it is hysterical. Yeah. Plus I know you.
Right.
So it makes it even funnier. Because I'm like, you guys.
What is he doing? Yeah.
This is really funny. But your body looked great.
Thank you. Yeah. Thunder from Down Under is like more aggressive. Those guys are like in the crowd. Uh-huh. And
it's a little methy. I mean, there's like a strobe light and then just
it's
like.
It's in the circus casino.
Oh, the indignity.
Well, you're not doing that? You're not touching people?
I'm not. I mean, Chippendales is like, it's so classy.
But you would go through the crowd and stuff. Like
I wouldn't.
The dancers
They do like runs, but it's not like lap dances.
How many of the dancers
like
are gay?
It's like a comedy show.
Yeah, I
think like two or three. Out of, you know, not, I mean, it's not that many. There's might be like 10. Uh-huh. So that's a good amount. You know right. what I mean? The lead guy, my friend Jason Michael, he's like a singer. He's doing backflips and shit. Very talented. He's gay.
Yeah, it's the ones that are doing like backflips.
Those are the gay ones. Yeah.
The ones that are really practices. Showing off. And the women are losing it. I mean, the amount of puddles under those seats, I was just
yeah.
like,
but they wouldn't be a good comedy crowd. I don't
know.
No, think. You know
I would
what I'm
hate
saying?
That. I don't want to get
They're not like,
that
you know, thinking of like joke writing. They're thinking of dick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm usually thinking of dick, but went there thinking of joke writing.
You're
so
thinking
the juxtaposition
of both. You're like jokes about dick, you know?
That must be hard though. I mean, like,
Were you
dick? Was it, were you uncomfortable? Like, would you be uncomfortable? How did you get yourself comfortable to like just be completely naked in a fucking shower? And also like,
dude, my mom came to the show.
Yeah, that's God. Italian.
Yeah, that
look
is
at my son.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous.
I created
she
that
was crying.
Dick.
She was crying.
Wait, she was that proud?
Italian mothers cry over a salad.
Everything. Because,
really?
Well, because like when you're in the room, it's like a lot of dick.
How many?
It's like a lot of, it's like 400.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. And there's like a, like in the beginning, there's like, besides the naked part, there's like a big screen, everyone's screaming. It's like, uh-huh. they create a moment. Uh-huh. So she was crying over that. You know what I mean? Everyone like on the show, they like made it seem like she was crying of the shame that I was a stripper. But I wasn't a stripper.
Where do you stay when you're performing there?
Not at the Rio. I stay at the Palms place. I think they're doing it over actually. But yeah, it was grimy. Yeah. like they would pay you to stay there.
Where?
At the Rio.
Oh, I stayed there once. It was so
They are better. Redoing it, but when you stay in the rooms, you feel like a Polish immigrant from 1940. Like, it's rough. You're like, how am I surviving this?
No, but it's like anything else. Just like, first of all, it became like the easiest job. I was getting paid for it and getting paid just to go there.
Imagine you weren't getting paid.
Tear your tank top off. Here well, yeah.
My friend Bob the Drag Queen said that he wants me, if I get like 100 or 10 million views on my special on YouTube, he's like, you have to do your next one in your underwear.
Oh my God. Mm, so
which I'm kind of like, if it did get to, like, I'm at like almost four.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I did get to 10, I would do my next special.
My whole family knows who you are.
They do?
They're me black. Too.
They're black Bostonians. I only know the black side, actually. But
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I did
her white dad left her, which is ironic.
Yeah. All my jokes.
Well, sorry. You know, my Mexican grandpa, you know, I live. You know what's so funny? Chris DeStefano, when I first did Girl Code and Guy Code years ago on MTV, he was like, all right, so you're going to do Guy Code. So these are going to be the only people that recognize you. White women between the ages of 12 and 16 and black people of every age.
Yeah. Why do you sound just like...
Yeah, that was...
It's me, it's Chrissy D.
That was the craziest fucking accent.
Yeah.
You know, Chrissy Chaos, it's Anxiety Tuesday. It's okay. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. You know, I got my daughter, Delilah. Yeah. I'm going to see you in Connecticut this weekend. Chrissy D, what is it, Tuesday? I don't even fucking know. But click on the link.
I just moved off Staten Island. I live in Queens now.
I'm in Queens, baby.
With Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Oh my God. Wait, that's so funny.
No,
wait, so your special is at 300,000 or something?
And 3 million.
Oh, 3 million. Yeah. Holy shit.
The hair plugs.
So we have to get it to 10 million?
Yeah, if it's at 10 million, then I do the next
What's
one.
What's it naked. Called? Hair plugs and
Hair
what?
Plugs and heartache.
Hair plugs and heartache?
I wanted to call it Netflix said no, but my people were like, that's not funny.
That's funny. I think it's funny.
I'm doing a new one next year, so... It'll be henna.
And in your underwear.
In my underwear. I don't, well, it's for...
Well, you were working out heavy back when I was... Are you still like...
I'm the biggest... I'm the most muscular I've been...
Really? Now?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you conservative?
But I'm wearing a giant
You're
oversized
conservative
shirt.
Conservative today, daddy.
I know. Look.
Holy... Oh my God. Because you were skinny.
And your husband.
Yeah, my husband's the hottest. Yeah, Rodrigo, he's like a trainer.
But you're like, I hate people like you because like all you have to, I mean, not that it's easy, but if I had to pick, I'd pick the one where I'm naturally shredded and just can eat pasta and just like it all goes to muscle.
But now I'm 37. I can't eat pasta.
Does it start to?
No, this isn't there yet. I can't let it get there.
That's all
but
I'm saying.
It's not like, you know, I have to watch what I eat and I'm
on the
road.
See, I always have to be in a deficit. To be, you know what I mean? Like hungry? If I ate a lot.
But you were shredded. How did you get so shredded for the show?
Like that. Like I would be in a deficit or I'd be keto. I would like no carb. But you're never going to get muscular like that.
Right.
You have to, the only way to get muscular, that's what I tell her, you know, because I want her to get a little thicker.
You must get fat.
Because I like BBWs. Because I like, they I body shame her.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Look amazing.
Me Thank too. You. Don't lie to her.
Gorgeous smile, beautiful arms, great waist. You look great.
Thank you. See, gay men.
He's gay. He's gay. Don't listen to him.
But they're the accurate ones.
My
matters.
No, it's an inside joke. It's really not. It's really not though. No, I'm kidding. I love her to death. But yeah, you have to eat a lot to get muscle.
Yeah, I was.
You know,
like,
that's
I was pretty thick a year ago. I was like 182. I'm now like 171. Like I want to start shredding down.
Okay.
Because it just looks better on stage. Like my set. I look like a Cuban dad who was just like finished cleaning the yard or something.
Yeah.
Like
when you're thicker, right?
Yeah, it was thicker. Even though in person I probably didn't look it, but like on camera, like things really do appear slightly thicker.
And you're special. You didn't look like too. You look like jacked, but not like
I would prefer to look not so like
yeah
same thing with Chippendales. I'm like, I don't need muscle. They just want to see like some kind of abs, some kind
dick.
Of cut, some kind of
some
we
dick.
Did not show dick, Mateo. You were just imagining it.
I know what I saw.
You wear it a wasn't cock like, sock. You wear a cock. We wear a cock sock.
What's a cock sock?
It's like a little sack that covers your balls and your dick.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because you're not allowed legally. They're not allowed to show dick on stage.
Interesting.
Like by accident or anything.
But it's still
it's
your
so,
thigh.
But it's so funny, like the difference between like male strip clubs and female strip clubs, because like you guys on stage, the women are losing their mind and throwing caution to the wind. Mm-hmm. And like a strip club where there's women stripping, it's like quiet.
Yeah.
It's sad. There's like a darkness to it.
Very.
You know, there's a lot of shame. Men come by themselves.
Yep. No, it's dude, I got molested. Yeah. Once a night there, especially in the meet and greet line.
Really?
Because like they would do a meet and greet afterwards where they would come sit on your lap and shit.
The mom and daughter.
The mom and daughter would come. And they would always just like, there's no rules. Like they would just grab the guys.
There's no one there to say, don't touch Vinny inappropriately.
They tried it. They tried it. And they're so drunk.
Well,
they're
drunk.
It was almost like when they said, don't do it, it made them like, get this
I'm
weird.
I'm going to be the one.
Thing in their head
He's
that does
like
it.
Like it when I do
Yo,
it.
This girl kissed me once and my whole face turned like purple. Like I had like an allergic reaction to her makeup or something like that. I was like, oh God, I don't get paid enough for this.
I was like, do you have to do the meet and greets?
Yeah.
Yeah, as I got older, I started to just be like, all right, like enough is enough. Especially when I went to Atlantic City, there was like, I didn't realize it was going to be like, because we performed there recently and like there was like 800 people in the fucking audience. I was used to like the stupid Vegas one, but it was way too much, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the stripping is over. We're going to move on now. We're going to try to do comedy.
Yeah.
Give me a couple of years. I'm doing it the right way. being humble about it.
Yeah, you gotta do it. I was talking to my friend Nick about that.
I go in grungy basements. Sorry.
No, you have to. I mean, that's what, honestly, it's like, it's, I was talking to my friend Nick Smith about that, who's my podcast partner. We do a podcast called I Never Liked You. It's, we do 15 minutes.
Oh, nice.
We just rip each other in half. Lizzo just got involved.
I saw that clip. Yeah.
She really needs to concentrate on other things. Like,
who got involved?
Lizzo.
Oh, because you were talking shit about her?
No, but Nick was making a, well, Nick doesn't know anything about history. And I said, somehow we got in a conversation where he like didn't know where World War II was. I go, when do you think World War II was, Nick? He goes, the 1800s.
Okay.
I said, you think that they invented an atomic bomb? He's like, it wasn't the 1800s. And then I said, no. He goes, it was the same time as The Wizard of Oz, 1939. He goes, you mean to tell me that when the worlds went to war, our response was The Wizard of Oz? It was obviously a funny joke.
Yeah.
It went viral. People were very disgusted by Nick's not having the knowledge of World War II. And then Lizzo posted it. And Lizzo was like, I hope he's joking.
Are you
because
kidding
the education
me?
Yeah. System
even about
in America.
Her?
No. She was like doing her makeup or eating
Yeah,
something.
She was doing like her makeup. Yeah. And then, so most of the comments on her page are like, Lizzo, you haven't spoken up in months. Like, you have a lot of allegations.
Yeah.
Against
you. Yeah.
These dumb white men.
Why is this the one that you're coming at right now?
That's it was kind of funny though, because then
great.
We did like a rebuttal and Nick was like, well, Lizzo called me an uneducated idiot and she's not wrong. Like, you can't phase Nick. He doesn't care.
Yeah, is Nick from the 1920s or are you just doing that?
No, that's his voice.
Oh, okay.
Like, I could, you want me to call Nick right now?
Because
that
is
legitimately his
voice. I
want to
hear.
He's also one of the funniest people ever.
Is he a comic or how do you know him?
He's not a comic. He is, I met him through Bob the Drag Queen and now he's like blowing up, but it's about comedy. So don't really forget that.
Oh yeah. What were we talking about? Talking about comedy.
Oh, being humble.
Being humble. Hi, I'm Nick.
He literally talks like Squidward. Hello.
he's not answering.
He'll call back. All right, well, when he calls back. But he's very funny. And he said, I was thinking, because every time I do a big show, Carnegie Hall, the Kennedy Center, Chicago Theater, I have Nick come out and do 1 minute just because the audience likes seeing him.
Right.
And he does like a minute of dumb jokes and gets off stage, whatever. But he said, I was thinking about doing stand-up. And I said, you can only do it the right way because there's no other way to do it. You can't just write something and go on stage. You have to do it every night. Mm-hmm. You have to do it in small rooms. You cannot do it. And you have to do it for a long time. He's like, well, I don't want to go to basements every night and do it smaller. So I said, well, then you don't want to be a comedian.
Yeah. I think that like you can kind of get a little bit of an expedited thing like I'm doing in front of real people as opposed to like open mics or and stuff like that. I mean, I have the luxury of getting on a show with like real people and it's kind of teaching me like what's funny and what's not. You know what I mean? Because like, I mean, I don't think the open mics really teach you anything.
No, open mics teach you everything.
You think so?
Oh, open mics make or break you. Because the thing with open mics
in New York?
Yes. Open mics.
They don't laugh at anything.
That's not the point.
The
point of an open mic is, among many things, it is about observing.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about, because open mics are just comics.
Yeah.
So a lot of times comics, like even if you're doing a show, maybe you're only seeing one or two. A lot of it is observing comedy, observing where is comedy, the state of comedy today. What is this person doing that I like? What's this person doing that I don't like? Communicating with your communicating with your community, moving around the city, learning. I mean, to me, open mics are the fundamental way of comedy. And to me, if I never did open mics, I would not be the comedian I am. It taught me everything. Even when the pandemic hit and they closed all the comedy clubs, believe you me, my open mic days came right back. I was in the Central Park doing shitty shows with a karaoke mic. I was back on train platforms. I was on rooftops, amphitheater, wherever you can perform. Open mics, they allow you to find your tribe, they find your voice, and it's observing comedy. Sitting there for 2 hours waiting for your name to be called, observing. Because the problem is, comedy is a lot of listening and observing. That's the most important thing with comedy. So, and I'm not trying to knock you, I'm just saying it's like, if you're doing clubs and stuff, yes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you do have a leg up because you do know your voice. But I am saying, like, open mics.
No, it's interesting because because I was telling Sienna, like, I wanted to go to open mics. I was like, I do not want to do shows. You know what I mean? Like, the person who's booking the biggest show ever is like, hey, you want to come to the Laugh Factory tonight? I'm like, no, you know what I mean? But then when I went, it was just like a sort of eerie vibe, just like with the comics, like, I don't know. I felt like I was hanging out with like a bunch of weird high school kids.
That's part of it. That's some of it.
Yeah, but like, people act weird around me. Anyway, so like,
well, that's another thing. People are going to act strange around you because you're
yes,
famous.
Exactly. Right. So I'm just like, and then, cause that's exactly what I wanted to do. I'm like, I'm not ready for a stage. I need to just say the words. I just need to say the words. And then, we started to find things that were like almost like open mics, but just like with real people instead of comics. So I agree with you. I don't think that any of one of these things would be bad to do. Like, of course, like sitting there and listening and observing and doing all that stuff. So yeah, I'm trying to find my way. But as of right now, it's like the little kind of, they're what I thought open mics were. Because originally when I heard open mics, I thought like, it's like a night at the cafe where like, it's like a mic and like anyone can go up kind of thing. It's not like that. It's just like a bunch of, it's like a call out.
I will say, you know, you have to think of it this way.
This guy's like negotiating with me. He's like, hey, you want to do this open mic?
Probably a battle.
You got to do my show next month.
No.
He's like, do you want to do it? I'm like, no.
There's certain open mics you have to look out for. So there's like certain open mics, and I think that they're still doing it where it's like, this guy, I don't want to say the name, but if you're a comic in New York, you know what I'm talking about. It's this group. They meet once a week. It's always the same people, but they have to pay to do it.
Yeah.
It's very called, this guy's just stealing people's money. You never pay
probably
for
the one we went to.
No, you never pay for a mic.
Oh, well, I always
never
pay.
ever pay. No.
Oh, okay.
Never.
Okay. That's maybe there's better ones.
There are.
Yeah, yeah.
There are. That's the number one rule in comedy. Do not pay for a mic.
Yeah.
Number two, there's, you know, probably 70 to 80 open mics a night in Manhattan and Brooklyn. Right. So there's a lot going on. What I would do probably is, because I haven't done open mics now in, I don't know, 12 years, but the scene is always changing, but there's always the scene. And the scene is the one you want to be involved in. Because I remember doing open mics and I was in the scene. My open mics, I was signing up with Tim Dillon, Michelle Wolf, Sam Morrell, Mark Norman. That was the scene.
You mean like the community of like the people
and then you see the sort of outside communities. Like you see the people that are paying, the people that will only do, you know, stand up New York, whatever. So, you know, it's like, okay, we knew that wasn't the right vibe. We knew that the vibe was like the free mics and hang with the good comics. So I'm sure there's comics you could find that'll be like, hey, Vinny, this is where you go. This is how it works. Because you should never be negotiating with someone at an open mic about doing the show. That person is a scam artist.
That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm walking into like weird scams.
No, yeah. You went into the wrong place. Time was Creek in the Cave, which now is in... it's in Austin. Yeah, that's right. But Creek in the Cave was definitely like, that's where you went. And like, you would wait an hour, 50 comics to do 2 minutes. But yeah, I remember me and Tim Dillon back of the room waiting our turn.
What are your like, I don't know, what's your 5-year plan now? You know, I mean, like since we used to chill back in the day, I did Girl Code and Guy Code with you too.
You
didn't
watch the show.
I did it was great. I did a pilot for Gay Code. Did you do that one?
No, I never did.
How did they not ask you? And they asked
I don't know.
You always ask me to do the gay shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You know?
They know.
Word got around.
Fuck. And then, obviously, I mean, you've blown up since then with like your world tours and shit. So is it acting? Is it movies? Singing? You do so many different things.
It's still stand-up to me is my number one. Uh-huh. And there are a lot of comics who are like, I'll do stand-up until I make it into movies or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or they balance both. Or the comics are like, I'm doing comedy. And my main focus, number one, will always be just stand-up comedy. I love stand-up comedy. I love touring. I love doing these gorgeous venues. I mean,
yes.
It's really a blessing and I really feel so happy.
So be home, like this is the home base.
This is my center.
And then you do go do comedy.
But I'm writing a show. I'm doing a podcast. And I would love to act, but I would only want to act and be like weird secondary characters.
Right.
I did a movie called Max and Molly of the Future.
Okay.
And I played a very fucked up British TV show host.
Yeah.
And I was just an ass. And I've never had more fun in my entire life.
Yeah.
They put extra bronze around me. I was super tan. Hello, it's me, bro. I mean, I want to play like ugly, weird people.
Same.
I don't want to be the main character. Yeah, I don't want the love story. I don't want any of that bullshit. Yeah.
A lot of times over the years, they always try to like cast me as like myself or like, like you're playing celebrity number one.
Act?
I mean, I've been in 90210 twice.
Okay.
Work.
But I was like casted as like celebrity one. You know what I mean? Like I'd rather have been like some like weird kind of thing. I remember they did a show called Jersey Shore Shark Attack. And it was
Like with Shark Tank and Jersey Shore?
No, it was like Jaws in Jersey Shore. It was like a sci-fi, like one of those like Sharknado ones.
Were people playing you guys?
Pretty much, yeah. So they put me in the movie, and I was so happy because they didn't put me in the movie as one of the Guidos. Uh-huh. I was the reporter.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I mean? Because like I didn't want to be one of those. But,
yeah. But roles for gay people, generally, you get them. It's like best friend.
Yeah.
And you know the dialogue is always like, "Girl, you don't need him. You're better than that." Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm like, all right. Like, there's not a lot of roles for gay people that way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just make me like a weird, dumb, stupid, ugly character. I do a lot of impressions. Let me do impressions. Like, right. You know.
Your Jafar impression is so.
Thank you.
Jafar from Aladdin?
Yeah. Prince Abu Abu.
What's your favorite Disney movie of all time?
Sleeping Beauty. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It is Sleeping a good Beauty. One. The fairies. I love them.
I love Maleficent, not the Angelina Jolie movie.
Uh-huh. Are we talking the straight animation or Pixar?
No.
Are they two different categories?
I like animation. I like a traditional animation. But Pixar's got great movies.
Yeah.
Even Elemental was good. It bombed at the box office. I think it made it back in like revenue. But
my niece watches it. I don't watch Elemental. I never saw it.
Well, my niece, my husband Rodrigo's niece, my niece, she can watch Moana 8 times a day.
Moana's great.
Yeah, when we were there for New Year's Eve, I'm like, how much more can watch Moana? We get it. She's friends with the ocean.
The soundtrack is fire.
God damn.
Frozen too. Kids were crazed over that. Let it go.
This island.
Do you want to build a snowman? I don't. Anna.
What's married life like?
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
Were you guys
crazy
open?
Before or not? Nah?
Like, did I have a crazy phase?
Yeah,
I never did. You know what?
I don't feel like you were.
No, I'm a little more prude. I'm too controlling. I'm like, I can't just like, I don't know. But you know what it is? Because I just do stand up and I just want to hang out with comedians. I never did the Fire Island. I never did the nightlife, the dancing on a Friday, Saturday night. Over the summer, I'm at the Cellar. I'm sitting at the Cellar table. I'm hanging with Esty, Colin Quinn, Jim Norton, Keith Robinson.
Comics are like not whores. Because they're like,
I wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah, but they're,
I'm generalizing, but they're working. That's we what. Work you, when are you being a whore on the weekend during the night? You know,
we find other ways to be just complete deplorable human beings. But no, on Friday, Saturday nights, comics want to hang out with each other.
Yes,
no one else.
Yeah. My whole like dating life has kind of like suffered a little bit since I've been doing this, and I like it too because I'm not a slave to the punani anymore. You know,
Do you really feel that that you're so brought to like your knees with just pussy?
Hey, yo, pause. Yeah. Wait, what do you? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, like it was like kind of like so I'm in such a weird place in my life, right? Like you do the reality show for 15 years.
But I feel like you guys are still like every year there's a New Jersey Shore. Uh-huh. You guys are going to be on HGTV.
We still do it, but like we film for like 1 week here, another week 3 months later. It's not like an everyday thing, right? Right. So you want to find some purpose. You want to be productive. You want to always have like goal. You can't just be like existing. Like I'm 36 years old. I'm not like a 87-year-old retired man, you know? So the gym had always been something that was like a big part of my life as like a 9-to-5. But then like nighttime strikes and it's like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? I would like start calling up different girls.
Of course.
Lining it up. You know what I mean? And now I'm like, yo, like I want to go do a comedy show.
Yeah.
And then like all those other girls were like calling like, what are you doing tonight? This and that. I'm like,
comedy.
Sorry, girl. I got a show.
Yeah.
And it feels great, you know?
You know who my crush was? I was always had a crush on Pauly.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That was my crush.
Me too.
Yeah.
He's my husband. Back off.
Is he? Okay. I'm sorry. Pauly, I've never met you, but you are very attractive.
We got bromided. Really? That's your thing? Like the spiky hair? Like, like kind of a cartoon. I love him. He's like a cartoon
character. Yeah. At this point, he's like Sonic the Hedgehog.
You don't like a Vinny G? Like a plain Jane?
I feel like you're sort of taken by all the women liked you. Vinny was always a favorite. When women watched the show, they were like, I just fuck Vinny. It's all about Vinny.
Dude, I got so many gays in my inbox. Because everyone thinks I'm gay.
Really?
Well, because like, you know.
They don't think Pauly is? I mean.
No.
Crazy.
Is it straight people that think you're gay though? It'll be like a dude being like, he's fucking gay. But like not like a gay guy. You know what I mean?
I don't get that vibe at all.
Gay. I get many.
He's single.
Because I'm single, but also like gay guys have no shame. Like they're in my inbox. They're like, yo, like we can keep this on the low. We don't got to tell anybody. You know, I get a lot of.
You weren't supposed to tell anyone I said that. I'm really ashamed.
Sorry, Mateo. Mateo's here. Come clean now, daddy. Okay. So you weren't. So now you're married. What's married life like?
It's pretty much married.
What does he do?
He's a trainer.
Oh, okay.
He's a personal trainer and a model.
Damn.
Rodrigo's Rodrigo. If you're in New York and you're looking for a trainer, Rodrigo Aburto, he will help you. Rodrigo Aburto. And he's great. And I love his family. Uh-huh. And I love our niece, Aitana. And yeah.
How long have you been married?
We got married in August.
Oh, wow.
Pretty recent.
We did a city hall wedding, which is the closest thing to getting married in jail.
But why did you do that? Like, on purpose?
I don't, you know, I can't handle attention anymore. Like, even like birthdays embarrass me.
Yeah.
I think when you're on stage every single night, you just.
You're used to it already.
It's like, embarrassing. Yeah.
I don't need my wedding to be a stand-up show.
Yeah.
I'm
sure.
I'm at Carnegie Hall tonight.
No,
singing opera.
Because I want it to feel real. So I just wanted like close friends, my family with me. And we did it. We had my mom, because you have like two witnesses. So my mom was there, and on the phone, she had on Zoom all of his Mexican relatives.
Aww.
So like you have the Bronx judge named Juanita being like, do you take Rodrigo to be? And then behind us, you hear, yo no puedo creer mi hijo. Like, it was so funny. But yeah.
That would have been a good excuse to go to a wedding in Mexico though.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, all these white people are doing it and they don't even have family there.
Did you know you wanted to get married always or?
I don't know. I don't think about it that way. Uh-huh. I think I'm just sort of more like day by day.
Yeah.
You know, does this feel right? Does this feel like, I don't think I ever had, the only thing I ever envisioned myself doing was stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it. And
but you weren't someone that was like, I'm never getting married. Or like, I don't believe in it.
I think I was more in line of never wanting to get married.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it's just, like the idea of a wedding seems so.
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
So yeah.
I don't want to get married because the wedding's embarrassing.
The vows are so cringe.
I know. Like Love is Blind. Oh my God.
That's just so cringe.
I never saw Love is Blind, but do think weddings in general are humiliating.
Yeah.
Especially when you do like, you know, when you're like your late 20s, early 30s, that's when all your friends get married. So you're like suddenly at 7 weddings in a summer.
Yeah.
And each one you're like, oh, this is it. It's enough. We get it. You found each other. Bring on the meal.
I have a dream though of flying my whole family to Sicily for a wedding, for my wedding.
You have to do just like The Godfather. You have to just recreate The Godfather wedding in Sicily. Remember when he marries?
Yes. Yes.
What was her name?
I forgot.
Come si chiama? Oh my God, every Guinea listening to this is gonna be so mad at me.
Yeah, me too. Sacrilegious.
You don't watch The Godfather? I have something with an A. Hold on.
Angelina.
No, I have to look. Sorry, I'm cutting.
Whose wedding was it?
It was when Michael got married to Godfather wedding, Sicily.
Really, the producer should be doing this.
Please,
you know?
Fly me out.
No, I want.
Apollonia.
I would have never.
And they said in Sicilian, she's more Greek-like than Italian.
Yes.
Apollonia.
Well, because like my family, they're not like vacation people. Uh-huh. They're never going to, they came.
No, they're working, they're Italian, they work.
Yeah. They came to Staten Island and they never left. You know what I mean? They don't even come to Manhattan.
Really?
So, yeah. Wow. So like if I ever had to like spend money on something, it would be, first of all the money would go to the flights. I mean, those flights are what? To Italy, like 5K or something like that?
Honestly, they can be kind of cheap.
Really?
I just found first class for like 4K. And of course, I'm like using points and like global upgrades and like, stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what you can do now? If you fly Delta, you buy the class below and then you use a global upgrade to upgrade yourself.
Okay.
And then you call and you have to charm them.
Uh-huh.
They pick up. You can tell like, hi, this is Molly from Delta. I'm like, Molly, you're going to be the one.
Yeah,
and then she's like, be the one what?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I also gay it up too.
Yeah,
I'm like, girl. And then they're like, girl. And then like, you know, they can help out.
Does your husband come with you everywhere you go? Like if you...
People honestly get bored after a while.
Yeah.
It's fun. He came to the Chicago theater because that was a big moment. I'm back home. All 40 of my cousins came. Like it's a big deal. That's a huge
theater. How many people were there?
4,000.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry, God.
it was a lot.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
You know, yeah. I mean, and so he came to stuff like that. But honestly, it's just work.
Was that the biggest thing you've done? The biggest
at that
theater
time? Yeah. Then I did Carnegie Hall. And then the biggest theater I'm doing now is going to be in Germany.
Really?
In Berlin. Yeah. Doing a huge theater in Berlin in April.
Is that going to be a German thing or like a European?
I'm doing a European tour starting in April, end of April.
Is this just because you acquired this like massive European fan base?
For some reason, I have a large following in Europe. I'm doing big theaters in Dublin, Manchester, Italy, Madrid, Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
How much is the German theater?
Over 4,000.
Uh-huh.
Was it just from like the clips and everything? Because they're not really, you know what I'm saying? Like how are you getting those eyeballs? to come see you? Like, you know, I mean, like, this is a general thing for comedy too. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I think it's a couple things. I think number one, I think I started doing clips right. I was sort of doing it right at the time it was happening. Uh-huh. So I remember wanting to like do, I remember, and I've told the story before, but it's like, I really wanted to do comedy the way that we were supposed to do it, right? Where it's like, you get the Netflix special and you get the producers and you get the TV show and you audition mm-hmm. for everything. And it just felt wrong to me. Mm-hmm. And I tried so hard to sell a special to Netflix and they kept coming back with no, 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 no. So I had this hour of material that I recorded and I finally just called Schultz because I was doing a show in Miami and I sold only 21 tickets and they called my manager and said, we have to cancel the shows. Mateo hasn't sold any tickets. And it was mm-hmm. so humiliating. I called Andrew Schultz, who I rarely ask for help. And mm-hmm. I said, Andrew, I was in Italy, actually. I said, Andrew, can you talk? I need your help. And he's like, when are you free tomorrow? So we found a time. He talked to me for 3 hours. Uh-huh. He walked around. He was walking in the village, I think. He walked around for 3 hours. He was like, this is what you have to do. Take that hour that you have on tape, cut it up into clips. I'll show you how to do it. Public. Create your own destiny. I mean, it was so inspiring. I was like, right. God damn. Yeah. And I did.
Well, he knows.
Well, I started. Well, he does. He's the one who started all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just started doing it. And I don't know if it's like because I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what's weird is I always connected with audiences at the Cellar. Mm-hmm. The Cellar always booked me. They were always great. The Cellar was keeping me alive. Everyone else just disagreed. They were like, we don't, he's not right for it. Like Netflix's notes were, this isn't right for us.
Mm-hmm. And when was this? Like when were they?
This is 2021. So I started posting clips in like June of 2021.
Like near the end of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's when things started slowing down.
Yeah.
And then it just
took off from there.
I mean, exploded. It was, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Matt Rife. I'm not doing like, you know, seven shows at Radio City, but it's like,
bro,
for a gay guy doing stand up.
You're a European tour. No, I don't know if Matt Rife could do that.
No, he can't.
Yeah,
he can. Europe? Yeah. Oh, Matt Rife.
Really?
Is famous. And he's a very nice guy. But yeah, but for
I'm
me,
just saying, he just like, also got famous. Like,
oh, he,
a year ago.
He exploded.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But I'm so happy. Like, I couldn't be happier. Like, I love doing, all I want to do is stand up and I just want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
So being able to do these shows, like, I don't know. I can't quite pinpoint what it was. Maybe just like the consistency of the clips or I got in at the right time. But I always felt I connected with audiences and people were telling me no. So it feels validating that I wasn't wrong. That my connection with stand-up wasn't a farce. And I love it. Yeah. I have a YouTube channel. My buddy Chris Cazzo, we make videos together every week and I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same. I kind of like, same thing like with the pod and stuff. Like I'm trying not to like worry about the numbers too much because you know, it's like you have all these eyeballs, but they're not necessarily watching it.
That's right.
You know, and like same thing. Like I could do a comedy show. Everyone thinks I'm going to sell 1,000 tickets and 21 people might show up.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So I guess you do have to just like keep with it and like learn the new algorithm of like how to be famous in 2024.
Well, because honestly, the tides are changing where it's like TikTok and Instagram in some cases are more powerful as a tool of selling tickets and getting known than movies or TV shows.
They had an idea of like what a gay guy should like sound like Netflix, you know what I mean?
Well, you know what's so funny? The joke that they said no to was my British Bake Off joke. He goes, we don't think this is right for our audience. And I reminded my manager, the only way to watch The Great British Bake Off is on Netflix.
Right, uh-huh.
So it is literally a joke specifically curated to their streaming channel.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is the one that we don't connect with. But I think it's just a personal thing. I mean, I think that it's okay. They just don't think I'm the right vibe. And that's fine. I just sold to another streaming platform.
I was going
to
say, like Hulu's doing it now. Sorry. I know Chrissy D said he was doing Hulu.
Oh yeah, he did.
All right, well we'll stay.
And me and Chrissy D will be seeing a lot of each other.
Oh well, we'll keep a lookout for that, you know. But I think we'll get out of here soon. Yo, thank you so much for coming.
Dude, I had
here.
So much it fun. Was so good to see you.
Like this was really like legit a catch up because last time he saw me, my dick was out.
I'm just saying it was, and everyone was.
That was
impressed.
After the show.
Well, that
that
was a personal impression. I was personally
that
impressed.
Was in the back. You know what I mean? So,
well, let's hang out outside of this.
Of course, let's hang out. I live in Soho. I live right near you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
oh, great.
I live in Soho because back in the
I'm
day,
I'm
still
waiting
in
to see
Island.
If I get this fucking apartment, but.
Oh yeah,
that'll be
yeah,
even
yeah.
more your neighbor.
Yeah,
you'll be my neighbor. We can go work out together. We can go to the Equinox in Soho. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll
sounds
come.
Good, man.
Yeah, Sienna will come too.
It's very nice to meet you, by the way.
So nice meeting
you. So the podcast?
Oh, I'm doing a podcast with my friend Nick Smith. It's called I Never Liked You, and you can see it on YouTube or anywhere else.
And then follow Mateo Lane for all his tour dates and catch him anywhere in the world now. So, all right. And Sienna's cool, too.
Hi.
Love you.
Love you.
All right. Like and subscribe and do all the things. Bye.
Thanks, guys. That was so fun.
That was great.
This room is
so hot.
So
I know it's always so.
What's up, guys? If you like the episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. We are building this thing from the ground up, so we need your help. And hopefully we can make this really big one day. Love you.